Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Access Astrology on Blog Talk Radio. We are three astrologers who get together and speak about what's going on in the sky and how that's reflected on the earth. I'm Mark Wolf, speaking to you from New York City. And out on Fire Island is...
Anne Ortley, talking to you from Ocean Beach, Fire Island, and we're waiting for Heather to call in. She said she'd be joining us, so I'm watching for her phone number to appear on our switchboard here. And forward we go. Quite a week we had, more to come. So what have you been noticing about the heavens, Mark?
Well, the really lovely thing was on Monday when the moon moved into position to form a Star of David. Or a grand sextile, it's sometimes called, because it's a whole bunch of sextiles and a whole bunch of trines. There's two overlapping grand trines is what it is. And that was really quite nice. That was Monday afternoon.
Right. And then it's still in place because that was when it perfected, but then it continues over the next couple of weeks. And then it breaks apart. It's a very energetic, highly creative, really very strong energy system that asks each of us to kind of evolve and change. And because it's earth and water, it's a lot about growing things and planting things that help us really see the world on a different level and helping us create, because it's earth, you know, when they're fire and air, Star of David's, they're about the vision and the ideas. When they're earth and water, they have a much more fertile kind of energy to them in terms of what they do. So they're kind of cool. I think they're really neat systems. So, well, how have you been using your Star of David? You know,
it's the I like to think of, my father used to always describe the farming land in northern Missouri as being kind of bottom. They used to call it the bottom lands because there would be flooding. In the spring, it would bring all the muck, and then the water would go away, and you'd have the muck left, and it was really fertile.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this is, that mixture of water and earth. It's very fertile.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's all
good
stuff.
It gives a great deal of energy. Mm-hmm.
The water ground trine is with us really through the summer. And that's very, very strong because it involves Saturn and Jupiter and Neptune. So it's three fairly slow-moving planets, and that's why it stays in place for a long time. But they're very powerful, and to hook them up is really special.
Right. And rare.
Yes.
The last time that was in 1966, and before that, 1929, and then the next time they meet is 132 years from now, in September of 2145. So
Mark that on my calendar.
On her calendar. 132 years from now. And the reason is because Neptune is so slow. He takes 164 years, 65 years, to 64 and change, to go around the solar system, around the sun, so thus around our charts. And so what we want to do with this is harness the Neptune. Because the Jupiter-Saturn you're going to have in another 20 years from now, and 20 years ago you had it. And this is the closing trine of whatever project you started in May of 2000. And, you know, it's saying to you, okay, you started something then, let's harvest it out, and now go forward with whatever your next process is. You know, you're reaping the fruits of the work. But the Neptune piece, that's more rare. And it joined with Saturn back in 1989 when the Berlin Wall fell and Russia fell apart. And, you know, it's now talking to Neptune and Saturn together. And, you know, the two of them, structures of your world, structures of your life, the work of your life, Saturn, and then Jupiter, which is your relationships to other people, to the community that you're part of, not your family relationships necessarily, but the Jupiter is all the kids you went through school with, all the kids born in your year. And so it's also about your relationship to the world. So putting them in water makes them very emotional and very sensitive and deeply inspiring, you know, because a lot of times when we sit making back and forth on a decision, should I do this or should I do that? Should I do this or should I do that? When we actually make the emotional decision and our emotions come in behind it, it fuels it enormously. It pushes us forward in a really amazing manner. So the emotions are really a key consideration to creating, because we can have the idea and we can see the vision, but unless we're emotionally ready for it, we dilly-dally. We kind of go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But when we're really emotionally into it, we commit and then we get it done. So the gift of having the grand trine in the water is it's going to give us the emotional push, the emotional thrust to go forward and encourage us to do that. So that, I think, is really one of the big things of the summer, because that it's just such a big push energy. So how are you using it, Mark? What are you resolving to do for the next 132 years or a subset thereof?
Yeah, I keep working on my meditation.
You're doing the meditation, okay.
Yeah.
I'm drinking green smoothies. We're going to make this a health. We're going to make this a health 132 years. You know, because work is fine and life is good, but I'm getting older and I need to get my body in better shape. So for me, it seems to be focusing that way. But, obviously other things too. So, but I think for all of us, our job is to look at where our natal Neptune is, because where he is by house placement is where we're supposed to, what our soul's work is. And Neptune is part of this grand trine, and he's the one kind of talking to Saturn and Jupiter going, hey, guys, you know, how about if we do this new dream? Let's put on a show or let's do whatever. So thinking about where your natal Neptune is, that's where you find God. That's where you connect into your soul's purpose. That's where you find the rapture on Earth or where you feel divinely inspired. And everybody born in the same 14 years has the same Neptune. So it's kind of a generational aspect for many of us. But thinking about what house it's in your chart, that gives you a great pointer or a great directional guide towards how to figure out what you find inspiring. And more importantly, what the new dream is you should be working on getting some emotions behind. So it's big. Yeah.
Yeah, we have Uranus Mars coming up, a square, right?
I know. Yeah, the square. That's going to kick off that T-square we had last weekend. And Mars, of course, is in Cancer. And feeling very emotional or chatty, depending on today's chatty because it's in Gemini. And on the weekend, he'll be very emotional because he's in water then. And how are you using the T-square energy? Because it's also part of the T-square is part of the Star of David, because it's the opposition between Jupiter and Pluto, and then Uranus kind of pops in and sets it off. But Mars hits Uranus in fire right now. This today, I think it is tonight, actually.
I think so. And that's good, and that's all part of the Uranus Pluto square that we've been dealing with on and off, really for like 7 years. We have all together, but. Was it 7 years? It's more like 5 years. When did that thing start? The Pluto Uranus square.
3 years ago.
3 years.
And are we talking? There was a T square in 2010. That's going for 5 years. Or the cardinal cross in 2010 in August, but the Uranus Pluto square was last year. Was the first time it was perfect.
That was it. Yeah.
And that's through
2015, right?
Yep. So that's
a big deal.
Yeah, three hits, four to go.
And that's what Mars is tapping into. Is that square, and it's forming a T square now because Jupiter opposes Pluto. So we have Jupiter, Pluto, and Uranus all squaring, and of course Jupiter sits in the grand trine with Neptune and Saturn at the same time. So they're interlocked.
Right, right.
And that's a lot of planets, and a lot of heavy planets to be all hooked up.
Right. mean planet.
Yeah, well, they are. But
generally
what they do, they force mm-hmm. action. The T-square sets up an enormous tension. And I always think of those T-squares as being like a bow and arrow. See, the bow is the opposition, and the arrow is the planet that squares the two. And you draw back on that planet, and it's ready to fly into that empty part of the what would be a grand cross.
Right.
And so you think of the tension that's in a bow and arrow. There's a huge tension.
Mm-hmm.
And something's got to fly.
Right. And so today Mars hit the arrow and sent it off into the sky, you know, as the tension in the bow is the Jupiter and the Pluto. And Jupiter and Pluto, when they get together, generally is big abundance. So it was interesting because I heard today they're sending John McCain over to work on Egypt, you know, because he's calling President Obama. Yeah, he's calling, you know, I'm out here on Fire Island. There's a TV, so I get to watch politics. John, you know, he's called President Obama's foreign policy feckless. So Obama's sending him over to go over to Egypt and fix it, big guy. You know, I was like, oh, okay.
Good
good use of your Republican critics. I thought that was pretty funny. So he was like, you go now. You just go fix that right up for me, you know.
Right. Show me how it's done.
Show me how it's done. You know, you see how that old song, Bomb, 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 Iran, you know, so it's...
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's all good. So, yeah, so we have that, and that arrow gets launched this week with Mars hitting that Uranus. And, of course, the T-square is a very active part of the finger of God, the Star of David, so it kind of sets the
Star of David. Yep.
Yeah. Keep going. Mark?
Oh, hello?
Say drop. Yes. Okay, you can hear me, yeah. I'm on my cell phone, so I always get nervous.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you see Heather on the line yet? No, right?
No, I don't. I'm not seeing. We have 7 callers, so we have a few people with hand raises, but I don't see her yet.
Okay.
She has emailed me saying she would be here, so I'm assuming she'll show up. As callers come in, I scroll down to look. Because we're now in the scroll bar, the switchboard. So, but the other thing this week is Mars comes in from out of bounds on the 4th, and Mercury clears his shadow. So finally, we're going to be done with him, and I mean not done with him because he's going to be doing stuff other places. I think that might be Heather. It just came in. I don't know. She didn't raise her hand. Heather, if that's you on the 512, raise your hand by pressing 1.
Not yet.
No hand raising. Okay.
Okay. So Mars comes in from out of bounds, and Mercury clears the shadow.
So we're going to have communications kind of go back to normal and hopefully not be nearly so fraught with problems. Although I have to say, I had a, you know, we had that, there's a guy who comes to the Access Astrology thing that John and I do. Or Mark and I do, John comes, and he had given us these things to buy lottery. You know, everybody buy a lottery ticket at Monday at 11:30, to 12:30 in the afternoon or whatever, because that was when the Star of David perfected and Spickle was rising. And, you know, and Spick is a really nice planet. We do our star. But I was kind of like, okay, well, if I'm not going to win the lottery, I hope I get something. So I bought a CD on Amazon. You're going to appreciate this because it was on Moon and Taurus with music. And apparently there's this thing called Amazon Cloud. And so every CD I have bought, they were like, do you want to have Amazon Cloud? And I thought, well, yeah, I'll say yes to that. I don't know what that means. Every CD that I have bought since 2009 is in this thing, in MP3 format. And I always buy CD because I have, like, the original, and I'm always nervous if you buy the file, you'll delete the file. I like the discs, right? But I got, like, 957 songs in my cloud. And I'm like, ooh, is this how my lottery is going to show up? I'm winning music. I mean, the music I've already bought. But I got all excited. I had 957 songs just suddenly available out there on the internet for me to go and play. I mean, I have Pandora. and I, you know, I carry CDs and I've got some CDs in my iTunes, but I'm really not that organized to get them all in when I buy them. I play them in my house, you know, and then I leave and I don't have them. But now I have Amazon Cloud. So I was like, I think that might be my lottery ticket, you know. But I was like, oh, I hope that's not the only thing I win. But it was pretty funny. I thought of that with the music coming, the gift of music with the moon in Taurus.
Wasn't that a Rolling Stones song, Get Off of My Cloud? Hey, you, get off of my cloud. Were they looking ahead?
It was all that marijuana Keith Richard did.
They knew what was coming.
Right, he knew.
Now we have the cloud.
Right. Now we have the cloud and we have all my songs in the cloud. But yeah, I was really excited. And of course, then I was like, okay, now how do I download these into my iTunes and, you know, have them so I can carry them on my computer?
Right.
So a task to yet be figured out. But I was like, well, this is really nice. So I don't know what the rules were that changed that suddenly every song I've ever bought, I can get the, or not every song, but all the CDs.
I didn't know they were doing that going backwards.
I didn't either. I just, you know, they asked me if I wanted the new, you know, because I bought the new Marc Anthony salsa one because I love to merengue in my apartment in salsa, and it was very cool. And so music arrived.
So that's probably some deal they worked out with the National Security Administration.
Totally.
Since they know everything you've bought, right, and everything you thought about buying, you had it in your cart for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, or on your wish list, right?
Mm-hmm. So they just go to the NSA, get that information, put it on the cloud.
You know what
you might have stuff on that cloud you don't even remember.
Right. Well, one of my students said that, Jeanette, who's one of my students, had said she goes back and looks at her Amazon purchase record to remember the book she bought, and it's kind of like the history of things that she's read over the years. And I thought, wow, I never thought of that. And I did.
Sure.
I went back and looked, and there were all these little clumps of things. And I was like, that's a great, it's kind of like the history of your reading. So now I have the history of my music. I actually, given to me, you know, here, have your songs. You already paid for them. So, very cool. So let's take some.
You see how transparent we are?
Well, Amazon knows everything, so
they
order a lot of, all my reading and my, you know, my music come from them, most of it. Some stuff comes from Barnes & Noble, but they're keeping track of that, too, so.
Oh, they have it, too, yeah, sure. Yeah.
They have a big list. Oh, she bought, why is she getting Paula Abdul, you know, or she doing a Bruce Springsteen retrospective? Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely one of those
caller?
Things. We should take a caller and encourage everybody to make sure they manifest. Oh, Oakland, I never thought of it. This is my Neptune. For the next 132 years, I'm going to have a Neptune cloud.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
My song's on the cloud. Ooh,
right.
That's nice.
Neptune is
cloud.
All cloud.
All cloud, and he's got my music.
We call it a gas
on.
Giant.
He is.
One of the gas giants. The cloud,
big
you know,
blue
it's not solid.
There. We just had another caller come. No, not Heather. Okay, I don't see Heather here. So we will pick up Debbie because we picked her up before thinking she was Heather, and she wasn't. But we'll pick her up again.
Okay.
We'll try it. There we go.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Debbie. You're up there. How are you?
Hi, Ann. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay. Something is on me. Seriously.
Pardon?
Something is definitely on me. And it's
on
not pretty.
Some planet is on you, right?
Planet or planets or the whole universe.
Or the cloud.
Not pretty.
Okay.
It started about mid-June.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It doesn't seem like it's going away.
Okay.
What's your birth information?
6/29/59. 11:10 p.m.
And where?
Queens, mm-hmm. New York.
11:10 p.m. in Queens. Well,
Okay. All right. Something's on you and picking on you. It's June 29th, 59. All right. Let's see what's going on. Uranus on your Eris, first thing that pops to my head. Uranus is really right at the edge of the first, second house on the Eris, on the south node, opposite the Juno planet. So there's a lot of blown up of relationships and partnerships and friendships. Because your Juno, Pallas Athena, and your Eris are all getting the square from Pluto and Uranus. So the thing we were talking about, the bow and arrow, is right pushing on you right now. So that's kind of a, knowing that's kind of the big one. And you have a Uranus-Mars aspect anyway. So today, while we're talking to you, Uranus and Mars are meeting in the sky. They're fighting right now. And in your chart, they're joined. But that does trigger a lot of emotional stuff. Plus, Mars has been in Cancer on your sun, your physical sun, and on your probably your actual sun, because sun's in the fifth house of children. So there's a lot of activity going on in that place. So I would say to you, yes, you are totally feeling it. And then you also have Saturn stationing on your Neptune. And so what that can do is make it feel like your entire world is dissolving on some very fundamental way.
I think that's really the thing that you're feeling the most. And those are, that Saturn on Neptune is very, very tricky. It's one of those can't diagnose it kind of things. You know, something's wrong, something's disappearing, things are going away, and there's no clear reason for it.
Right.
And the mm-hmm. antidote to it actually is faith. Mm-hmm. And really digging really deep into what you believe and knowing that what you believe is what will pull you through.
Right.
Okay.
So that's what you have to do at this point.
Right.
When does this go away?
Well, that's the good news. Once it will go away as Saturn.
It does go away. Good. Mm-hmm.
As Saturn goes, you know, beyond it.
Right. Like soon.
Well, the other part of it is you know, Saturn's opposite your moon because Neptune is opposite your moon. So your moon in Taurus, which is normally grounded and feels pretty comfortable and, you know, solid and reliable and dependable, that's getting the opposition from Saturn. And it's also feeling very dissolvey from Neptune. So Saturn's moving, which is good. We like him to be generally 2 degrees off of things,
mm-hmm.
but he's moving into trine your sun. So that's, you're still going to be feeling it, but you might feel a little bit more functional as he gets off the sun, and that will be more towards the end of August because he gets to 6, like middle of August, August 17th, he gets to 6, and your sun is 7. So, you know, we've got to get him past 7:36, which is more towards the end of August. But I think that's kind of probably what you're really feeling is that Neptune, because he just kind of parked on it. Now, he was over it last November, too, so the story started then, but he basically sat on your Neptune May, June, and moved off of it in July. But the eclipses also came to your Neptune, and, you know, they kind of acted like depth charges. If we think of the ocean, you know, there was this bomb that went off on the bottom of the ocean, you know, and kind of set everything up. And, of course, you have Neptune in the eighth, so you're very psychic. And you're also going to tune into, on a bigger level, the hidden messages, the hidden meanings of what's going on. You're not just going to get the straightforward stuff. You're going to get the stuff that people say to you, but you're going to get all the middle pieces, too, that they're kind of transmitting to you.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, with Saturn on that, it can feel like that you're picking up, you know, lots and lots of things that have really nothing to do with you or that are completely beyond your control, but that you still have to somehow, you're being told, well, you have to fix it. And you're like, well, I don't know how. And they're like, well, we don't know how either, but you have to. And so it can feel a little bit like you're being asked to do something that you don't know how to handle. But it should, it'll be off of, it's off of it now, like 2 degrees. So 2 degrees is the middle of August. That'll feel much better. But off of your sun, we're going to wait until we get to the end of August, because it goes, it's going through there. And then if we look at your progressions, you also have Saturn right on your solar arc, Saturn sitting right on your natal Chiron. So what that's doing is it's bringing up a lot of the wounds about how do I fit in a group, because Chiron is an Aquarius, so how do I fit in a group? Am I a member of a group? What does the group do? And so you're doing a lot of work around that. And also your sun is at the very, 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 very last degree of Leo, right? And so at the last degree of Leo, it's been 29 years in Leo, and it's about to go into Virgo. But when we're at the end of a 30-year cycle of our ego's development, there's kind of like a giant shout-out. So it sums up the last 30 years. Your sun went into Leo when you were about 23 by a solar arc.
I'm progressing into a Leo.
Progressing.
You are a Leo. You're progressing out of Leo into Virgo. Yeah.
Right.
Wait, I'm a Cancer.
You started
you're a
Cancer. With
Cancer.
Mm-hmm. And you'll always
I progressed into a Leo, and now I'm going to progress into a Virgo.
You're going to be progressing into a Virgo, but right now you're at the very culmination of Leo.
Okay.
So it's all about love, or, you know, not love. You know, whenever you're feeling the not love, you're going to go, well, it's supposed to be about love. And you know, it's, and of course, Leo has risen, the sun has arrived in your seventh house, so you're seeing a lot of your relationships much more clearly than you have. But for the last 29 years, you've been a Leo. You were a Cancer for 23 years, and then you progressed into, now you're always a Cancer, but at age 23, you turned into a Leo. And now this year, you're going to be turning into a Virgo for 30 years, which is more service-oriented, and it works more with your Mercury. And your Mercury is in Leo. So you'll still feel Leo-y, but you'll be more, you know, you'll be more focused on service and health and healing and working with others. And that progression takes place. Whoops, there we go.
I'm cleaning the house, right?
Yeah, you're cleaning house. Well, Leo, you know, you're at the last degree of the, when you're over at the
no,
last
I'm just saying
degree
how Virgos are, they like neat freaks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there are dirty Virgos, but, you know, by and large, they're neat. But it's their own dirt that they're happy in. They're not, they don't like other people's dirt. So you shift on April 14th. Into next year, into being a Virgo. So you're at the last little moment of it. And it kind of, you know, but it makes you much more aware, you know, whenever you're finishing up the sign, kind of like that last weekend before Labor Day, you know, or the last, that culmination energy, and then you move into a different place. So it, those transitions are very profound, especially the ego's purpose, why it's here, really shifts. What your purpose is and how you work with it and how you work in the world completely changes. But
okay,
I think
so this,
what you really feel right now is the Saturn on your head. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I should start feeling a little bit better the middle of August,
mm-hmm.
and then
yes.
it'll be gone mm-hmm. the end of August?
End of August.
Yeah, that part. You'll feel much more clear-headed and more in touch with the things that are yours, things you've put in place, you know, all of that became questionable. Things,
right.
you know, started to dissolve on you. And it seems like you have no control over that when it happens. You'll feel like you're more in control of what you own and what you
yeah.
use.
Yeah, this is a pretty horrible thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, not fun.
It's been a hard
I'm hoping that Jupiter swings in and, like, rewards me for all this.
Well, Jupiter is, yeah, he's in your fifth house of your sun, too, so there could be some good news around him or good health, you know, good work with him, you know, positive news. We're having trouble with him with the Gemini, because that was his 12th house of undoing, and now it's in Cancer, so he should actually be feeling better and gaining a little weight and kind of having things start to go his way instead of being picked on so much. Yeah, Jupiter in Cancer should help a lot.
Okay. Well, if it's good for him, then it's good for me.
Evan.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're a mom, so good for you. Good for him is good for you. You know.
Right.
So.
Okay.
All right. So, Let's post
thank
it.
You
just
so much, Anne. Thank you, Mark.
You're good.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you both. And
okay, Debbie. Okay. Yep.
All right, so British Lady spoke. We have 10 seconds. We wish you all a great week. Mark, anything else you want to add to folks? Help them move forward?
Oh, that's it for now.
That's it for it? Okay, cool.
Okay.
So, and Mark and I talk at Tuesdays at Access Astrology at the Church of the Transfiguration. And Heather is in. Should be coming back from her road trip Minneapolis, back to Minneapolis, where the governor just
yep.
signed gay marriage into law today, which is very cool. And I'm sure she's always doing something. And Mark and I will be speaking next Tuesday at 7. So
Tuesday.
We'll talk to you next week. Wish you a great week. And have a good one. Anything
okay.
else, Mark?
That's it for now.
All right. Take care, folks. Bye.
Bye.